want to welcome everyone here and would like to remind you to sign the ritual friendship at the end of your pew if you have not done that and pass it to the aisle. And we are happy to have Pastor Teresa with us. Good to see you. I just want to draw your attention to the bulletins and the announcement. The announcements in the bulletin. And is Laurie Kodlak here to give an announcement about Vacation Bible School? Well, that may have just been at the first service, so I will draw your attention to that's a lengthy write-up in our bulletin and anything else we have. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to worship and ask that you, which I had already done, visitors and regular attendees, please take a moment to sign in on the ritual friendship form located at the end of each pew. After you sign, pass it on and greet your neighbor. how to worship. It's right here. Let's look in our bulletins, please, to the call to worship and read responsively. The Lord has found and anointed us as servants.
May the Lord,
the Lord has found and anointed us as servants.
May the Lord,
the Lord has promised steadfast love. The Lord has found and anointed us as servants.
And we shall cry out, "You are God, the rock of our salvation."
Our opening hymn, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High," the words will be on the screens. Yes. Anything else? Okay.
Today we're going to be doing a few camp songs to capture that camp feeling, not only through Ali's sermon, but also through the music. So if you would please stand and join me in our opening song, "Lord, I Lift Your Name on High." We're going to find our hymns today up on the screen because they're not in the book. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. We're gonna do it again. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Fantastic. Please be seated.
Let us pray. Everlasting and eternal God, we come before you in this space and call it your house. We know deep in our hearts, though, that your home is with your people. You call us forth to be your faithful servants, and we strive to obey. Help us in this time of worship to be more aware of your presence, not only here, but throughout our lives. Guide and direct our paths, our reflections, and the words of our mouths. You are our God, the one and only true God. Help us to be your people. Amen.
I invite the children to gather with me up front. Good Good morning, boys and girls. I'm very glad you're here today. How many of you have a dog? Anyone have a dog? You don't? Your neighbor does. Well, maybe we should ask our church family. How many of you have a dog? Ooh, look at all the hands. Woohoo. Okay. Well, I don't have a dog either. I have lots of other animals.
I have one dog named Cabo.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks for sharing, Mackenzie. Well, I bet you know lots of things about a dog, though. Think for just a moment. What do you know about a dog? We know a lot about dogs and cats and other animals, but we can learn something from different animals like dogs, too. And today, we're going to just talk for a few minutes about what we can learn from dogs. There is one characteristic, one thing, that separates wild dogs from pet dogs. Things like coyotes and foxes and wolves are wild dogs. And they would like to be in charge of others all the time. They live in packs, and there's always one leader of the pack who wants to be in charge all the time. Wild dogs don't like being ruled over by someone else. That's why they don't make very good pets. But if we keep a dog as a pet, we don't really have that problem. Well, sometimes you might. We don't have a problem with somebody being in charge of them. Having a master is what a pet dog lives for. Pet dogs love to make their masters happy. A pet dog is played with, loved, fed, bathed, and given shelter. And the dog enjoys the rewards of belonging to their master. And a pet dog becomes a part of your family, because it's glad to follow its master. As we grow up and learn more about what it means to follow Jesus, we can think about it like being a pet dog or a wild dog. Sometimes we're glad to have Jesus as our leader or master. We're happy to let Jesus guide us through our lives, and we listen to his word in the Bible and learn what he wants us to do and know that we are a part of his family. But other times, we don't want to follow anyone, not even Jesus. We don't want anyone telling us what to do. So we kind of act like wild dogs, sometimes fighting and trying to be the ones in charge instead of letting God be in charge of our lives. So sometimes we don't want Jesus to be our leader. But we need to remember that he wants to lead us and do all these things and provide for us. And that when we choose to follow him and let him be in charge, then everything goes the way that he had planned for us. Okay? So we need to trust him, and we need to try and obey him. And remember, when you get up, every day is a new day, and you can try again to keep on obeying Jesus and God. Because we can trust him. He will take the very best care of us and our families and our lives. Let's go ahead and have a prayer together. Repeat after me. Lord God, help us to follow Jesus as our leader in every part of our lives, even when it's hard. We thank you. Amen. Okay, my friends, you are welcome to join me for children's worship. We go downstairs and have an activity. So we'll go up the center aisle here and meet at the back.
Yay! I feel like there should be like a yay there or something. I don't know. It's kids! Yay! There they go! Bye! Yeah! See? Doesn't that just feel better? Like, it just needs something. Like, yay! I don't know. So anyways, good morning. I am not Reverend Laura, so if you happen to be new here today, I am Allie Miguel. I'm the youth minister at the church, and I'm filling in today. While she is down at General, Reverend Laura, that is she is down at General Assembly. So, yeah, that's me. This is the time where we come together as a congregation with our prayers and concerns. I was made aware of a few at the first service. Christy shared that a student from the Career Center was in a very bad accident. He was hit by a truck, a lot of broken bones, a lot of healing ahead of him. Nadine Rui, I was reminded that she has left hospice and is now at home with her daughter. Bobby Way's daughter, Katie, will be headed down, or she might be there already, but she's having surgery down at the James Cancer Center this Wednesday. It's positive. They're hoping that it's, how did she put it? Not cancer-related. Thank you, Ron. But that will be happening Wednesday. And the Robinsons shared that their grandson, Devon, is now back up here with a new family in Wadsworth, and so that is a very good thing. So I see that there's a multitude of things in our bulletin. Kent Weidinger's brother, the passing of his brother. Is it Dion? Okay. The passing of the Kreiner's friend, Dion. And Tori Kane, Benny Latham's 15-year-old cousin that passed away. Are there others that you would like to share? Joys, concerns? Yes. Yay! Yay! So when are you due? January. All right. I love babies. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we get a Christmas surprise. Just saying. Are there others? Yes.
Kelly had his knee surgery on Thursday, and it went extremely well. And he's, as you can see, he's getting around very, very well, and we're just thankful for excellent care. I mean, we're so blessed to live here in the United States and receive care.
Yes. Good. Well, we are glad you are doing well, and we're glad you're here. Yay! I'm sorry, I just got back from spending a week with junior high kids. So I'm a little full of yays and that kind of stuff. So it isn't always a bad thing, but I'm sorry. Yes, Neil.
I'd like continued prayers for my former wife, Jerry, who went to a major operation this last Friday.
Good.
But she needs recuperating and strength now.
Okay. Good. We will certainly keep her in our prayers. Are there others? Yes.
We have a friend who's going to have Whipple surgery on Thursday for pancreatic cancer. It's been delayed several times. He has a 50-50 chance of perhaps having another year or expiring on Thursday.
Thursday.
His name is Larry.
Thursday. Okay, prayers for Larry, Baker's friend, first surgery. Okay. Yes. Happy birthday, Dave Kreiner. Yay. 29th birthday is so fun, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Are there others? The only one that I would like to add personally is our friend Kelsey, the young woman who's been battling ovarian cancer. She had a very major extensive surgery. She had complications from that. This past week, they were able to extubate her and move her out of the ICU, and they're still working on figuring things out with all that they had to do to her. There's just a lot going on, but she's in a regular room and she's doing pretty good. So our family really thanks you for all the prayers for Kelsey. So now let us come together to God. Almighty God, we give you thanks for this life and all its blessings. For joys great and simple, for days like today that are made for celebrating our joyful times, like birthdays and babies. For people whom we celebrate, like old friends who've come back to visit, and our families. And we give thanks, God, for your mercy and grace, as we also pray for those sorrows in life that are big and complicated. For people who have endured tragedy and are left seeking understanding. For times when we are hurting and find ourselves in need of help. For days when our joys and sorrows are intertwined together and we laugh and cry in the same breath. God, we know not what will meet us each day or what will meet us each moment, but we know that you are with us, leading, loving, and guiding our hearts, hearing our thanks and holding our grief. Lord, hear our prayers and our praises as we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Ready? So anytime I can, I like to pull in the young people. So I've had a few young volunteers today. This is Casey.
Okay, so it's Matthew 8:18 through 22. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross the other side of the lake. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead."
Thanks, Casey. Before we begin, would you pray with me? Dear God, I thank you for this opportunity to be here today to share the message that you've put on my heart with all those gathered here. Pray that all of our hearts and minds are open for what it is you want us to hear from this message today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, good morning again. So for those of you who know me pretty well, which there are many of you who do, you already know that I absolutely, positively love young people. To be fair, I love all of God's people. I do. I love you all. But there is something about working with junior high, high school, and college kids that fills me beyond measure. I love them so much. I go to their sporting events. I meet them for ice cream on a Saturday night. I visit them in the hospital. I laugh with them. I cry with them. And I spend 2 weeks of my summer at camp with them. Every year, as I head down to camp, I put all kinds of barriers and walls up around my heart so that when the week is over, I don't have to endure the pain of a broken heart when I say goodbye to all of those amazing kids who have impacted my life that week. Every year, those campers successfully break down those barriers, knock down those walls, and take pieces of my broken heart home with them. This year was no different. In fact, this year, not only were pieces of my heart stolen by all of those amazing kids, but there were a few CYF campers, the high school kids, that walked away with some great big chunks of it. First, there was a young lady who was in my cabin. She clearly had some special needs. She is very self-sufficient and didn't require too much care, but did require a bit more attention. She was in my cabin last year. This year, when she got to camp, she marched into the camp office and demanded to know what cabin I was in. They don't like to tell the campers which counselors have which cabins because the campers tend to pick the same cabins. So they move the counselors around so that the kids are kind of forced to get to know the counselors. But this young lady wasn't having any of that. So she walked into that office filled with determination and gave the assistant directors an ultimatum. Either they tell her which cabin I was in, or she was not going to stay at camp. After last year's time with her and being woken up in the middle of the night multiple times and multiple nights in a row, I was thinking that maybe she would pick the same cabin as last year and I could love her from a distance a little bit more and my nights might be just slightly more restful. When she walked through the door of my cabin, arms filled with her belongings and one very large smile that went from ear to ear, she greeted me with, "I got in your cabin again, Allie. I'm so excited. I told them I wouldn't stay if I couldn't be with you, so they told me which cabin was yours." At that moment, she dropped her stuff right in the middle of the cabin, and she wrapped me up in a hug that felt like she had been saving it up for an entire year. Next was a young lady who I first met a couple years ago at Cairo Camp, the junior high camp. She is an absolutely beautiful young woman who unfortunately has had a lot of battles in her life, and she carries the wounds from those battles with her daily. The past few years of camp, she had been rather quiet. She would dress in dark clothing, and on a good day, would just barely clip her bangs out of her face. On a bad day, she hid behind her locks as if they were a brick wall. Last year, her darkness got the better of her, and she didn't make it the whole week at camp. She had to go home early. This year, this beautiful child came to camp in light-colored clothing and a bright pink flower clip that held her bangs completely out of her face. When she saw me, she greeted me with, "I am so glad to see you. Guess what? I'm better this year." Then she thanked me for always being so nice to her. She was smiling and happy. She participated in camp activities, and one evening at our Vesper service, she was the one that shared her heart and gave our message. Her light was shining more brightly than I could possibly describe in words at this moment. Then there was this young man whose walls I have been trying to get through for a couple of years. When I first met him, he wouldn't talk. The only thing I heard him say was a very muffled and barely audible no to a question I had asked him during a Christmas party. Last summer at camp, I would always be sure to tell him hi and ask him how he was. No response ever came. In fact, I always got the impression that maybe he was a little bit annoyed with me. This year, when I first saw him, I greeted him with my usual big hello, which maybe is too big sometimes, not expecting a response. But to my surprise, he greeted me with a big smile and a quiet hi in return. He ended up being in my Will of God class. During that class time, I saw something had clearly changed in this young man over the past year. He talked. He added to the conversations. When people looked at him to answer a question, he took the time he needed, and then he gave his answer, and he talked, and he talked, and he shared his heart. At different times during the week, he would come to me when he was looking for help. To top it all off, this young man who barely spoke last year sang in the talent show on stage in front of the entire camp. But what really stole that great big chunk of my heart was on the last day, after closing circle, he made his way through all of the campers and counselors and parents to find me and to give me a great big hug for the very first time. Finally, there is my own child, whom he is not here. He was here at first service, and he has since gone home, so I can't embarrass him anymore. But I did a really good job at first service, so you'll be glad to know that. My own child. Most teenagers want very little to do with their parents. Most teenagers would not willingly spend an entire week at camp with one of their parents. Most teenagers would treat their parents like they had the plague by avoiding them at all costs if they happened to be forced to spend the week together at camp. Not my 15-year-old. He greeted me with a warm, "Good morning, Mom," every day. He would shout, "Hi, Mom," across the camp when he would see me walking from the distance. If I walked up next to him while he was talking with friends, he would put his arm around me and he would say, "This is my mom." He would hug me and tell me, "I love you," multiple times throughout the week. And almost every single night at camp, he would give me a hug and a kiss and tell me goodnight. "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replies, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple says to Jesus, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." And Jesus tells him, "Follow me and let the dead bury the dead." What speaks to me about this scripture and what I think I am supposed to share with you today is that there are severe requirements of discipleship. Being Christ's disciple is not easy, and it's not always comfortable. It comes with great cost and sacrifice. That to truly live a life that follows Christ means acting and not waiting. It means enduring adversities and struggles, hardships, pain, and broken hearts. A fox has a place to hide, a safe place to escape the troubles that chase it, the weather that threatens it, and the predators that prey upon it. Birds have nests, carefully made structures tucked out of plain sight to protect them from the elements of the world. But the Son of Man has no place. There is nowhere for him to find respite. Every time he tries to go off on his own, someone follows. Every time he sits down to rest, someone questions. Every time he is quiet, someone demands an answer. But he gives all, at every moment, in every circumstance. He holds nothing back. When the disciple comes to him and says, "Let me go bury my father first," Jesus tells him, "No. Let the dead bury the dead. Don't go back. Don't wait. The time to act is now." Jesus doesn't wait to act or love, and he doesn't want us to either. Every moment of sleep I lost at camp was worth it. So that young woman in my cabin knew she was safe. Every moment of free time that I gave up, when I could have been napping. Well, no, naps don't happen at camp. But I could have been having 5 minutes to just collect my thoughts and rest. All of those moments I gave up so that when a hurting girl would stop and ask if I wanted to see her drawings was worth it. It was worth it for her to know that someone was interested in what she had to share, that she mattered. For every frustration I endured when no response was given, every time I tried to talk to my quiet friend, was worth it. Because I became one of the few adults he sought out for security and support at camp. For my own child. For the times I question and doubt if I'm doing a good job. For the times I hurt because he hurts. For the times when I think I am pushing him further away rather than bringing him closer, it is worth it. Because the evidence that all I endure to show him unconditional love is made clear by his love back to me, and even more importantly, the way that he shows love to others. It is not easy to go to camp every year and give pieces of my heart away and not do it once, but do it twice. It is painful. And it, not just to me either. It's a cost that my whole family endures the pain of. When I come home from camp, I am exhausted. I am sad. I am distracted. I feel lost. And my heart hurts. I am never the same mom or wife or woman after camp as I was before. But it is worth it. It is worth it because now some amazing young people know that they are loved and that they matter to someone in this world. Today, I stand before you completely exhausted. I am sad. I am very distracted, and I am very brokenhearted. Because I just finished giving more pieces of my heart away again at camp this week. But without hesitation, I am ready to go back and do it again and again and again and again so that those kids know that they are loved and that they matter. The cost to follow Christ is great. But seeing the love of Christ impact others because of what I am willing to endure is even greater. It is worth it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, I thank you for the experiences in life that you call me to. Challenging and difficult they may be, but I know you are there amongst them all. And I thank you for giving me the courage to walk through those moments and then be able to share them with the people of this world, knowing that they are messages that we all need to hear. I pray that the words that have been spoken here today impact all of our lives, and we take from them what it is that you want us to do with them. Thank you for this community of faith that is so loving and supportive and caring, and for all that they do to follow Christ in this world. Amen. I said I wasn't going to cry. Thank you. At this time, I would like to, do I invite somebody up? Do I need to invite our deacons to come forward as we do the presentation of our tithes and offering? Is that what we're supposed to do right now?
First, we're going to sing.
Okay, we're going to sing. I messed that up last time.
Please stand. As you know, soon we are going to be changing our calendar year for the church. And some of you know that this year I have gone through a lot of soul searching and wondering why. Why me? If you get a call from the nominating committee, I hope that you will take serious, serious thought about answering that call. You're doing God's work, not people's work. And God decides, not us.
Thanks, Christy. And now it is time to call our deacons forward for the presentation of our tithes and offerings.
Pray with me. Make us remember, O God, that every day is your gift, and it ought to be used according to your command. Bless this gift that I hold in my hands. Direct us in the right direction to be used. And bless the givers. Amen.
Disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
I said this in first service, and I'm saying it again because it's true. Every time I come to this table, whether it's to be an elder or doing this, I'm worried about screwing things up. I'm worried that I won't take it off right, I won't put it in the right place, I won't say the right thing. I followed my own advice, which I give to our young people all the time, and that is, it is not about the what. It is about the why. It is about why we do things. It's not about getting it perfect or that the microphone wasn't on or that the songs didn't work on the screens earlier when we tried to sing a new song. It's not about the what. It is about why. And in this moment, why I am here is to represent Christ. And the reason why we are around this table is to remind each and every one of us that we matter. And that we are loved, and that all are welcome at this table. Let's pray.
Dear Lord, thank you for this communion that helps us to remember your unconditional love. You sacrificed your Son so that we may be forgiven of our sins. Please bless this ordinary bread and juice, that as we eat and drink, we may renew our faith and trust in your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. I've got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.